Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. Faith comes by hearing, but there's more to it than that. The Apostle St. John spoke of hearing, seeing, and touching the word of life. When Jesus shall appear, not only shall every tongue confess that he is the Lord, but every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth shall bow. Believing that Jesus is the Lord not only involves what we think and say, but involves our total beings. Thus, the rubrics of the church require that at the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that the sign of the cross shall be made at least by the pastor. Some Christians bend their knees or bow their heads when they come to that part of the creed which goes like this: Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. And still that part of us which is Protestant insists on the liturgical freedom of not making the sign of the cross or refusing to kneel before the sacramental presence of Christ in the supper and of not acknowledging the Holy Cross upon the altar. These are Catholic customs, something which we simply do not have to do. Regardless, there is no holier sign than the sign of the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus our Lord. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. By the sign of the cross, we were received by Christ into his church by baptism. Receive the sign of the cross both upon the breast and upon the forehead as a token that you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. By the sign of the cross, we shall be directed out of this world into the next one. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. The cross for us Christians is more than a symbol, but it is the reality which embraces and keeps together heaven and earth. But as uncomfortable as we feel now in genuflecting, kneeling, and bowing in the church on the earth, this is exactly what the church in heaven does all the time. Seraphim, who once covered their faces before Isaiah's God, now bow with saints before the Lamb of God who was slain for sins. And I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In the presence of the slain Lamb seated on God's throne, I assure you that no one stands. That Jesus, whom saints and angels continually worship by singing the Agnus Dei, covering their faces, genuflecting, and offering up incense, is no less present here in this church, in preaching, and in the Holy Communion. Perhaps it is time for us to say with Jacob, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Then we should say with him, "This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." In his small catechism, Luther says we should begin our morning, evening, and mealtime prayers by invoking the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and by making the sign of the Holy Cross. It is the Lutheran and it is the Christian thing to do, because by that we remember that baptism has joined us to the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This spiritual renovation and reconstruction of baptism rests on the sure foundation of the Holy Cross, through which cross and by which cross and because of which cross God brought about the world's redemption. O cross, our one reliance, hail. O may thy power with us avail to give new power to the saint and pardon to the penitent. Perhaps you are saying to yourself at this point that perhaps we should make the sign of the Holy Cross, but not necessarily at the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. After all, the triune God existed in supreme and unapproachable majesty before sin came into the world, and even before God set forth the plan of redemption and the incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. But there is and can be and must not be any separation between the divine majesty of the Holy Trinity and the cross, because it is exactly in the mystery of the cross that God has given us a clear revelation that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The act of the cross is not only the work of the Son. That would be a horrible misunderstanding. But the act of the cross is the act of the Father, who offered up his Son, and of the Holy Spirit, who enabled Christ to do this. Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself up as an eternal sacrifice without blemish to God. Just as Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice, so was God, who not out of wrath, but out of love, offered up Jesus. Thus, the Trinitarian glory, majestically expressed in creation, mysteriously revealed in incarnation, uncovered with splendor in the voice from heaven in the Lord's baptism and his transfiguration, comes to its highest and fullest expression in the moment of the cross. To think of and to meditate and to worship on the undivided Trinity is to meditate on the Lord's death by crucifixion and his resurrection. That was the hour for which the Son of Man longed. That was the hour when the Son of Man was lifted up and when he drew all men to himself. By offering himself up, Jesus was returning to God his Father through the Holy Spirit. The Father sacrificed of himself in setting forth his Son as the propitiation, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. The Son is abandoned by the Father in the moment of the cross, but it was through the eternal Spirit of the same Father that Jesus offered himself up to God. In that eternal sacrifice, as Hebrews says, we see that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On that account, the sign of the Holy Cross is made at the mention of the name of the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It might be too harsh to say that we cannot think about God without thinking about Christ, but this is exactly what Luther says and what the Holy Church has always believed. God is not to be found in transcendent majestic glory. God is only to be found in the moment of the cross. In Christ we see the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He who hath seen me hath seen the Father. In the cross we grasp God and believe in him. The God who spoke from heaven to Jesus in his baptism, assuring us in him that he was God's Son, has now spoken out to us in our baptism to tell us that we are his sons and his daughters, and therefore brothers and sisters of the Son of God himself. Now that same God teaches us to pray to him by saying, Our Father who art in heaven. And that same God leads us by the Holy Communion inside the doors of the holy place, where Christ presents himself as a living sacrifice to God to obtain an eternal redemption. Here we join in the Holy Communion. Here we join the heavenly chorus of saints and angels singing, O Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Now at that moment we can begin to understand and comprehend the sacrifice of Christ, because God in Christ has made us living sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. As God sacrificed of himself in offering up his Son, so we pray that God may also offer us up with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism. And this sacrifice is that we should do his will, not living for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us. Only after we have been sacrificed with Christ can we share in his resurrection and ascension by declaring ourselves for his ministry. Christ sacrifices us to God so that through us, we as living sacrifices can show the world's love for it. God sacrifices us, and we sacrifice ourselves to God. And in this way, a window into the mysteries of the triune God is opened. But God does not work anything in us, and God does not require anything of us, which he himself has not already accomplished, and which he continually does. For the God who is now sacrificing us for his purposes, first sacrificed Christ for us. And even before that, God took of his own being and essence and gave eternal birth to him who is begotten of his Father before all worlds, the one who is God from God, the one who is light from light, the one who is the true God from the true God. God is not only love in action, but God is love in his essence. This love gave birth to the Son in eternity. And the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Father and the Son came to further full expression in the procession of the Holy Spirit. This love for us reaches its highest expression, and we can see it in the moment of the cross. From the cross, the Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts so that we, by baptism and faith, might love one another with the same love with which God loved his own Son, even before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us.